All right, if you would turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, preaching about a series of messages about what the Scripture says about purity. The Apostle Paul writing to Brother Timothy, and the Lord speaking to us. These things are certainly good for us. He says in regards to pastors and those ordained, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. And that's a very good command for all of us. We need to watch out for that. Keep thyself pure. And so purity, it's not popular by any means in our world today, but it is something that as the children of God, we need to pursue. We need to make ourselves pure. We need to pursue purity in our life. It's all about our conversation, what we think, which is where it starts, and what we say and what we do. We've taken a look there at James chapter 1, and to understand and know how it is with sin and how it works in us, how we are enticed by it, and things, different things that we've seen, or folks in our lives, we might be enticed by them. Satan will work to parade things and to influence. In our day with the media, we have to watch out for that. It is his realm. He is the prince and the power of the air, and he wants nothing more than the failure, the falling of the Lord's people. And so we have to beware of that. We are our old man, we're tempted, we're drawn away of our own desire. When we begin to look and we begin to take that second look and third look, we're enticed by it, by others, pleasure for the flesh. And when these desires have conceived, they always bring forth sin. And so we need to know that. We need to know that for ourselves, for our children. And the way it is, sin brings forth death. It is just that way. We took a look. The Scripture is not devoid by any means about this aspect of our conversation of thinking. What are we to think? And the Scripture told us and tells us in Philippians 4 that our thinking is to be focused on good things, true, pure, lovely, and so on. And so we took a look at that and about our thinking. And I've got a pile of notes. And so, okay, so now tonight we want to take a look about what we say, about the mouth. And of course, the tongue, James chapter 3. Take a look over here in the book of James. And I trust you're familiar with this. And if not, we can see it and understand it. Purity and what we say, that second aspect of our conversation. First, our thinking that we looked at last Wednesday, tonight about our speech, what comes out of our mouth. James chapter 3, a chapter devoted to this of the tongue. And let's read it quickly. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation, those that are leaders, those that have responsibility over others. For in many things we offend all. There's more opportunity being a leader and a master, or whatever you're responsible for as a husband, a father is responsible for his home. As a pastor would be responsible for a church, as a manager, a boss, a foreman would be responsible for their crew or their company. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, mature, and able also to bridle the whole body. So if we can get our tongue under control, we can get the rest of us under control. And so we see this here about offense not in word. It's so, so easy. Behold, he says, look at this example. We put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us. And turn about their whole body just by that bit in the mouth. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, measuring tons and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned with a very small helm. Whithersoever the governor, the shipmaster, the captain wants it to go, listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. It's little, it's just here in our mouth, but it can brag and tell about great stuff and stuff done and stuff going to be done and even lie about stuff that hasn't been done. I mean, it can just go. We talk about it. We say that. We have a colloquialism about shooting off our mouth, right? I mean, they're that little member which cannot do much, but it can speak, can just make a mess. Even so, the tongue, a little member, boasts great things, but hold great. How great a matter a little fire kindleth. And that's just like it is, lighting of a match to get it going. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. And so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body. Because nobody ever says, for those words you said, I am sure angry at your tongue, but the rest of you I'm okay with. No, it gets the person in trouble, doesn't it? The whole person is there faced with it. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. And so death, it's deadly. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and all things in the, and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. That's the reason that the wicked would do to those that they don't care for, they would take and cut out their tongue. It's the only way you can shut it down, is to make it of none effect. Otherwise, if you leave it there, it's always subject to go off. Okay? The tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison, wherewith we bless God, and we should, even the Father, and therewith we curse we men. And I can tell you what, it can happen in the same paragraph. Well, they would be different paragraphs, but they can be butted up right there against one another, which are made after the similitude of God. And so then cursing of men, this is a verse just as an aside, where we understand that when we sin against one another, we are sinning against God, of course, because our neighbor, at the least, our neighbor is made in the image and likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either vine figs, or so can no fountain yield salt water and fresh? It cannot be. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation. And so there we have that reference, speaking in particular about the tongue in the majority here of this chapter. Have a good conversation. Who is a wise man, endued with knowledge among you? Are there some? He says, I encourage you to be, I admonish you to be. Let that wise person show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom, even this of the tongue. But if you have bitter envying, jealousy and strife in your hearts, and we've seen about that, that's where all sins start, there in the factory of sin. He says, glory not and lie not against the truth. He says, if you're saying one thing, like John said, if you say you walk in the light, but you're walking in the darkness, you're lying. Don't do that. But you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts that comes out of the mouth. Glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, not from the Lord, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure and peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And of course, the children of the Lord are going to be known as the peacemakers. The Lord Jesus says that on the Sermon on the Mount. So, here we have this about the tongue, and we as the Lord's children need to show out of a good conversation our works with meekness of wisdom. We need to have knowledge about what God says. We need to have application of that knowledge. That's that wisdom. And we need to have power. We need to have our ability under control. Just because we can say it doesn't mean we ought to say it. Okay? And We're so prone to the extremes. Understand this. The Lord is not saying that we should never reprove or rebuke or admonish. And sometimes those things are negative. It's in the vein of the wounds of a friend are faithful. But we need to do it well. We need to do it right. We need to let it be seen that our desire and that our interest is not to drive somebody down and beat them up, but to help them, to bring them along, to help them to be an instrument in the Lord's hands, a tool, a witness, a brother and sister in Christ, to tell them what's right. Those that are spiritual are to restore the one that has fallen. And so we've got a mix of all this. It's not that we never say a word to the negative, but we don't need to be vengeful or hurtful or mean, but tell what the Lord says and have that balance that seeks the glory of the Lord and the betterment of those around us. And so there's a fine line sometimes in there. And may the Lord help us that we understand that and that we have our tongue under control. A good conversation we need to have, including our speech. You know, in Proverbs 18:19, the scripture says, "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city." And their contentions between the offender and the offended are like the bars of a castle. Sad to say, too many times, this offense happens with only words, just with words. And then that one that has been hurt, that one that has been offended, it's like it's harder than laying a siege to a city and being able to overcome it. It is. And so we need to know that. May God help us. Sad to say that it happens so many times with words, and it has happened with words that have come out of my own mouth. May God help us in that. Titus chapter 2, our saying, or what we say. That's our subject in regards to purity. Titus chapter 2, take a look here. In Titus chapter 2, we read in verse number 1, "Bespeak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Okay, and so we see the word here, speak. The admonition from Brother Paul unto the preacher, the pastor. Now understand, this is regarding his ministry to the sheep, to the membership of the churches, to those that he's to be an evangelist towards. And so he is always to speak things which become sound doctrine. What do you think about the one, the member, the brother or the sister that is not the pastor or not the evangelist? Would it be good for us to speak things that are becoming of bad doctrine? No, it applies to us too, doesn't it? Just because it's written to the pastor doesn't mean that it applies to us. It's good instruction to write things. And so here about our speech, we need to speak the things which become sound doctrine. And then we've got four different groups of people that are spoken to here as the apostle speaks to the preacher, the pastor, to those that he'll minister to, and the things that are to be taught. That the aged men, now those are the ones that are older in the Lord. Those are the ones that have been around for a while, maybe saved for decades. That they be sober, which means circumspect. And we're going to see this word a couple times in this passage, which circumspect means to be looking around, to have a right understanding of what's going on. You know how it can be with us. We can just like be floating through the clouds, not have a clue what's going on around us. Or we can understand how things really do work in the world. And we need to know that. We need to be sober about it. We need to know that the world is the way that it is. And we need not chase after it, but we need to understand about the temptations that are in the world and the wickedness that's in the world, the Word of God and how it tells us to deal with that and stay away from that, how to instruct those and such. The aged men be sober, that they be circumspect, that they be looking, they be on the lookout, looking at all and considering all things, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. And so here we have this first group, the aged men. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. And so those women that are older, they've been saved for a while. They've been saved maybe for decades, and they be likewise. So all those things for the aged men are they to be too, including being sober in that. That they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers. That's finding somebody and saying something so about them that's not so. Not given to much wine. Teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women. Now the third group, okay? The third group that's there, the young women, those that are young in age, maybe young in the faith, but young from the standpoint of years, that they may teach the aged women to teach the young women to be sober. Now this word sober here is different than the one up there, the word sober in verse number 2. This is talking about having a sound mind. This is talking about being disciplined, and to know what the responsibilities are and stay to it, to understand what needs to be done, to learn what needs to be done, and be dedicated to it. It's not to the exclusion of being circumspect, because as you learn about life, as we learn about life, we'll understand all kinds of different aspects and facets of life that we need to have our eye on and be watching toward, okay? That they may teach the young women. So the aged women need to be in this position. They need to be in this spiritual shape to be able to teach the things necessary for life to the younger women, to teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands. Did you know a young woman needs to be taught to love her husband? Well, that's what God says. And I dare say that young men need to be taught that too. Because again, these things are mentioned to these different age groups, but I don't think they're to the exclusion, unless it's a gender-specific thing. Okay, a gender-specific thing, like it would be for a young man, he would never bear children. But he would have children over which he's responsible for. Okay, as an example. The young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. We face an epidemic in that regard today, don't we? About parents, men and women, not loving their children, hating their children. It's terrible and it's sad. To be discreet. That means to not be showing yourself. That means to do well in managing yourself, to be chaste. And this is the word that we've been in search of as we've gone through. It's the same word as pure over in 1 Timothy 5:22. And again, remember that this word pure, or here in this case, as it's rendered chaste, means to be innocent, to be modest, to be perfect, to be clean. Okay? And so the young women need that to be taught to them. The aged women need to know that it needs to be taught. And we need to teach this to our children. To be discreet, to be chaste, to be keepers at home. In recent times, I've found out about some different ones that where the children have not even been taught foundational things of just how to live life at home, to be able to do basic things. That's a parent's job, is to teach our children how to go on and fly. Remember, the scripture talks about children being like an arrow that'll be pulled out of a quiver and shot farther than we've ever gone. And the thing is they need to be taught every single thing about life that we can teach them. Okay? Managing of money, keeping stuff clean at home, how to manage their life and their time, how to be responsible, how to render to the Lord what's the Lord's, not only just in the tithe and offering, say, but even in time, to manage life well to the honor and glory of the Lord, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, which will get a big row going today, that the word of God be not blasphemed, because that's what will happen. Is one that claims to be saved, but doesn't do those things and follow in that way, the word of God gets ridiculed because of it. Because they claim to be saved, but they're not walking in the light. Men, just because it talks about the men have this, have maybe different responsibilities, but the same kind of things too. Okay, so it's not just... It's not the word of God isn't just say, get the women straightened out and everything will be OK. But we've got it, too, fellas. And we've got it to teach our sons and our grandsons and so on. And may God help us in that. And so here we see this about purity here, that the young women are to be taught this and that it's a good thing. And then we come on here to the young men, the fourth group. Young men, likewise, exhort. Okay, so in that same way, exhort them. So everything up there that's been mentioned before can be taken down and put here on young men too, unless it's a gender-specific kind of thing. Likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. And again, this is the same thing for the young women, of a sound mind, to be disciplined in that. In all things, so that means in thinking, in speech, and in doing. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. What would you leave out of that? Well, let his thinking be good and his doing be good, but he can shoot off his mouth all he wants to. No, it doesn't work, does it? It's not right. Not honoring to the Lord in total. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Why is that? Because it's the young men that hopefully, and we pray one day, the Lord will save and use, and they'll be the aged men and be able to lead. Be able to lead in the physical, be able to lead in the spiritual, okay? At home and in the church. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Listen to here, sound speech. That cannot be condemned. No, that sound speech that no one can lay a rightful accusation against. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and to please them well in all things. Not answering again. Not purloining or stealing, but showing all good fidelity. That they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Verse 11. For the grace of God, which bringeth salvation, hath appeared unto all men. And we're thankful for the grace of God, aren't we? We are. The Lord's graciousness to us has brought us from darkness unto light, from death unto life, from ignorance and wickedness, depravity and sin, to being a son, a child of God. And you know what that grace does? It teaches us to be like Him, not like our natural selves from which we have been saved. Well, at least it ought to be teaching us that. Sometimes we may behave like it's not teaching us that. But the Lord says, because the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, worldly desires, like those youthful lusts that we spoke about here some messages ago, that we should live soberly, there it is again, righteously and godly right now. Okay, in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And a reminder, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us. That means he bought us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So here the pastor is given instruction by the apostle about how he's to minister. And it's not a thing that he is to minister these things and be devoid of them himself. He's to have them. And then those that are being instructed, it's not just particular things for particular age groups and that's it. But all the things that apply to everybody, who can deny that they're not good for us? And having purity, having chastity, having sound speech, as is mentioned here, is good for us all. I want to just kind of take a little bit of a rabbit. I'm going to take an off ramp a little bit and get on a parallel line and mention something here. It's more appropriate to a previous message, but with chastity being mentioned here, I want to mention this. In regard to this mention of chastity here in verse number 5, to be discreet and chaste. And young people need to be so. We all need to be so. And how that applies to each group, it has some differences, but understand we need to be so in the place where we are. And a detailed conversation and dealing with that is for another time. But in regards to this, the chastity, especially about those who are young, those who are unmarried, I want you to listen to this account that I heard years ago. An account told about a boys' Sunday school class. It was a boys' Sunday school class where the teacher brought in a bunch of white roses in a vase. And they asked one of the little boys, said, "Take out a rose." And so he did. And the Sunday school teacher said, "I want you to take off a petal. And you keep that petal." He took that white rose then, and the Sunday school teacher, he told him, he said, "Now take the rose and pass it to your classmate beside you." He told that classmate to pull off a petal. And he said, "Okay, now you pass it on to the next one." And said, "Now you pull off a petal for you." So these little boys, one rose has been taken out. Each boy in turn has taken off a petal, and they pass that around the table. And then the teacher told him, said, "Go ahead and put it back in the vase." And he did. They did. And so the teacher went ahead and taught his lesson for Sunday school. And then towards the end, before the bell rang, he told each of the little boys, said, "Go ahead and take a rose out of the vase for your mothers." And you know what those little boys did? Well, they reached in there and got a rose for their mother. And you know what rose was left? The one that had all the petals plucked off of it. The one that had the petals plucked off of it. That was the rose that was left. The boys all took roses that were whole and pretty, not one with the missing petals. The point to remember in regards to chastity is no one wants a rose with its petals plucked off by another. True? True. No one wants a rose that has been grubbed and plucked by others, do they? No. No. Everyone wants a rose that is whole, pure, and chaste. That's what everybody wants. And so, in regards to chastity, just that simple account there is something that we need to remember. Because once that happens and things are taken away or given away, they can never be regained. We'll speak more about that at another time. As we mentioned, all age groups in this passage are admonished to be sober, sober-minded about life, and to the ones that utter sound speech, such that none may have any evil thing to say of us. Our speech needs to be sound and right and godly. In regard to youthful desires, and what we say. Think about this. There is that the scripture tells about us, about a man that allures a woman into a bad or wrong, a wicked situation, or a woman that lures a man, seduces a man into a wicked situation. Their speech, and with their words, they have done such. Remember what Proverbs 7:21 says? This is Solomon warning his sons about the whorish woman, but the thing applies both ways. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield, and with the flattering of her lips, she forced him. And it's just saying that women do that, but men do that too. And how? With their words. We've got a world filled with it today. We actually have it to where young people and even older and everywhere in between go to places just hoping they will be seduced and flattered with words. We don't need to have speech that way as the Lord's children, do we? We don't need to be involved in such a thing where we would persuade one to give away that which they should not. And then I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. This is what our Lord says about the tongue. And it's, may God help us, may the Lord help us to remember this. They've been talking about, he's been talking about blasphemy against the Holy Spirit of God. And those who do that don't stumble and trip and fall into that. They full well know that they're doing that and there's no forgiveness of it. And the Lord continues on after that information and what he says there, because they've accused him of casting out demons by the devil. And he says in verse 33 of Matthew 12, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. Old generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. And so here, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words shalt thou be condemned. What we say, what comes out of our mouths, reveals what's in the heart. And so in regards to this seduction that I mentioned earlier, one that would say that they would be saved, but they would look to allure and seduce, or she would look to allure and seduce, it's not becoming of someone that's a child of God. It reveals the heart. And may the Lord help us to know that it's the case in that of our mouth revealing our heart. It is the case indeed. You know, our Lord says in his word how it's to be with his children regarding this of our speech and of our tongue. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Makes a difference. Sometimes it may sting, but it speaks the truth of the Lord. You know, I mean, think about it. Sinners don't want to be told that they're sinners. And just for us telling them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Lord Jesus came and died, was buried and rose again, that sinners might be saved, because without his salvation, they're on their way to hell. That's an affront to sinners just right out of the gate. But it is the truth that they need. And we can be ugly with it, which we should not be. I've seen that. You have seen that and heard that. We should not be ugly with it. But with love and concern for the soul, we need to have that salt in our speech. Because we're the only ones, the Lord's children are the only ones that are salt and light. Let your speech be always with grace, graciousness, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And remember what it says over in 1 Corinthians 13. There we're taught about agape love and how it is that it, all of our life, we need to have that abundance of love. May God help us to cultivate that, to exhibit that. Remember how it starts off there in 1 Corinthians 13:1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Just a bunch of noise, but it doesn't mean a thing without love right out of our mouths. And then we sing a chorus along this line, or according to this verse, Psalm 19, verse 14. Psalm 19, 14. What does the Lord say about what comes out of our mouths? Let the words of my mouth, the psalmist declares, and the meditation of my heart. Isn't that neat? What I say reveals my heart, and what I say and what I'm thinking, may it be acceptable in thy sight. Be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know, here the psalmist is praying such. And so we learn from that that we know we have a problem with that. And it would do us well to pray that the Lord would help us to keep that in check and keep that honoring to our Lord and not dishonoring or hurtful to those round about us. Our conversation, what we say, may it be honoring to the Lord. And as you know, we close these messages with reading 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, and this about purity. May that which comes out of our mouth be pure and chaste and honoring to the Lord, and our thoughts be such that that be what comes out of us, and the old man be put down. And to remember this in closing, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him, Jesus, not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We'll be like Jesus, for we shall see him as he is. And every man, woman, boy, or girl that's saved, that hath this hope of seeing Jesus and Jesus coming for them in him, purifieth himself even as he is pure. We'll be working on it, and we'll be diligent to work on it. And we'll be praying that the Lord will help us to work on it, and that we be a pure people before our Lord and before the world. May God help us. May our Lord help us indeed.